Thank you, musicians. Let's all open our Bibles now to the little book of Jude, the second to last book of the Bible. As we go through the series on the attributes of God, today we look at one that revolves around a very unpopular word. The word is authority. I once saw a bumper sticker that said, "Question authority." That seems to be very cool for people. Don't trust anybody. Question all authority. Actually, the book of Jude mentions this attitude. Look at verse 8. "Likewise also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries." Authority isn't popular because we want to be our own authority. It's like we say, nobody tells me what to do. I do whatever I want to. Not only do sinners speak evil of human authorities, as it says in this verse, but it's because the heart of man rebels against the authority of God. But all that doesn't change one unalterable fact, and that's what we're looking at this morning, and it's this. God is the ultimate authority, and we have the duty to submit to His authority. Now, in the Bible, the word authority is used many times. There's no one specific Hebrew word in the Old Testament for authority, but there is in the Greek New Testament. The word is exousia. It's usually translated authority or sometimes right or power. Now, it's not to be confused with another word that's usually translated power. That's the word dunamis, which means power or energy, strength. That's the word that gives us words like dynamite and dynamo. Yet these two words do overlap. For example, God has both the power and authority. He has the power to back up His authority and to enforce His rules. God has all power and He has all authority. Now look at the last verse here in the book of Jude. And it uses the word exousia, and I'm not sure which translation you have. It may or may not translate as authority. Maybe it has it as power. Let me read it to you. "To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power." That's exousia. And some translations, like the NIV and the NASB, translated as authority. And the verse concludes, "both now and forever. Amen." So it says here that God has glory, majesty, dominion, and authority, which is His power to rule. Now, God's authority is related to various other attributes of God, such as in this verse and others. Revelation 12:10 says, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power," that's exousia, authority, "of His Christ have come." Revelation 16:9, "the name of God who has power or authority over these plagues." By the way, that verse tells us God has authority over plagues, that is disease and death. Now, God's authority is based on one thing, His Godness, His divine nature. It is within Himself. And because God has foreordained everything and created all things, God has authority over all things and all people. Now, we're going to look at several verses that use this word. So turn with me next to the book of Romans, chapter 9. These beautiful verses all fit in together, telling us God has all authority and we should recognize it and submit to it. Look at Romans 9. Paul's been talking about God's right and authority to choose some and not others. He determines who will be saved. Look at verse 21. He uses this analogy. "Does not the potter have power or authority over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor. God has the authority to choose whomever he pleases. And God says he chooses some to be saved. And this is from before the foundation of the world. But then according to this chapter, God has the authority not to choose others. And the point that Paul makes in this verse is nobody has the authority to challenge God's authority on this. He rebukes people in verse 20. Who are you, old man, to apply against God? We are just part of this lump of clay, and will the clay argue with the potter? No. God has the authority to choose and not to choose. We don't have the authority to bicker or to complain. And some people do. They disagree with the biblical doctrine of election, and they say, that's not fair, that's not right. And Paul here puts a stop to that and says, you don't have any right or power or authority to challenge God. You see, when we object to God's authority, that's an indication of our rebellion against his authority. So God has the right and the authority to choose and to predestine whatsoever he pleases. He is exerting his authority. Next, turn with me to Acts chapter 1. A verse that's rather timely for this weekend, as you know. There has been a famous false prophet, as it were, that predicted that yesterday would be the day of the second coming. He was wrong. He's just another member of a parade of false prophets for centuries that have been predicting the coming of Christ. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Verse 7. Jesus said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. They were beginning to pry into this, and Jesus said, no, you can't pry into undisclosed secrets that belong only to God. God has the authority to reveal certain things. God has the authority to conceal other things, and he says, no prying into that. If he hasn't revealed it, he's not going to tell us, no matter how much we cajole, pray, or search the Bible. If it hasn't been revealed, he's not going to tell us. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and our children, that we may do all the words of this law. Brethren, there'll be more false prophets coming along saying that they've got it. They know the day and the hour, the month and the year when Jesus is going to come. Jesus explicitly tells us in Matthew 24, no man knows the day or the hour, let alone the month or the year. Even the angels don't know. These are things that are in God's own authority, and it's kicking against his authority when we think we can figure it out. Only God knows, and he has not chosen to tell us. The authority of God. Now, where does God get this authority? He gets it from his own deity, his own godness, as I said. It's self-authority. It's not derived from another. It's not delegated to him from anyone else, such as the angels. The angels would shudder in horror to think that they are the ones that give the authority to God. No, God gives the authority to angels and to others. God has an inherent authority simply because God is God. Now, we come up against certain human authorities. Like, for example, when you're going a little bit too fast down the street and you look in your rearview mirror and someone's driving behind you, has one of those flashing red lights, and he pulls you over. And he says, where's the fire, buddy? Or now, if you begin to challenge his authority and say, what gives you the right to pull me over and give me a little ticket asking for my autograph and for a little fine? He'll say, this badge gives me this authority. And if you look on his hip, he'll also have a gun. He's been invested with authority by the powers that be. Who gives God authority? Nobody. God, as it were, says, this badge of my deity gives me the authority. I have ultimate authority because I am God. That's the authority of God. Now, to be specific, the authority of God refers to his right to command. Let me quote you the concise Oxford English Dictionary, its first definition of the word authority. The power or right to give orders and enforce obedience. Now, there are other ways that we'll use the word authority. We'll say, for example, such and such a person is the authority on, let's say, Shakespeare. He knows all about that, so we say he's the authority. Probably better to say he is the expert on something, because he doesn't have any authority to give commands to us or to give us orders. We'd say he's the expert, and I guess you might say in that sense he's the authority. But then in other areas, we will say a person is the authority because he has the right to command. For example, if he's in the Navy and he reaches a certain level, they call him a Navy commander. And then when all the branches of the Army and the Air Force and the Navy and the Marines and even the Coast Guard, they have their chains of command, who's at the top of all that? The commander in chief. Our United States President. He has superiority over all of them. He issues the commands and the orders to all of them. Now, God is the ultimate commander in chief. He has the authority to give orders and commands to all those that are underneath him. He issues orders called commandments. You see, authority brings with it the right to command. And God gives commandments. Some of us are old enough, that famous sentence years ago. Ted Koppel was giving a commencement speech at Duke University, and somehow we got to talking about the lack of authority and respect in our society, and he took us back to Mount Sinai, and he said, I would remind you that when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, he did not bring with him the 10 suggestions. And I say good for Ted Koppel. God doesn't give suggestions. He gives orders. He gives commandments. Those are expressions of his authority. He has the right to command, and he has the authority to enforce his commandments. God rules the universe. We've just sang the song, Our God Reigns. He reigns and rules. He that rules makes the rules. He has the authority, because he has authority over everything. The Bible also says he is the lawgiver, the lawmaker. He makes the rules, and he gives us the law. In fact, the word lawgiver is found twice in the Bible. Let me read you the two verses. Isaiah 33:22. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king. He makes the rules, he enforces them, and he judges those that break them. And there's only one. James 4:12 says, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. And just like God rules as an absolute monarch, the one and only king, he is the only lawgiver. He doesn't rule in this sense by plebiscite or referendum. You know, in certain parts of the world, that's how they make the laws. If you go over to Switzerland, every few weeks they have a referendum. They poll the people and they go there, so they don't just simply elect officials that make the laws. The officials may make some laws, but other laws are put together by referendum of the people. And some of the Swiss get tired of going to the polls. Here we go with another referendum to make another law. But here in the United States, usually it's done not by referendum or by plebiscite, but by our legal process where we, every so often, elect people to office on the local, state, or federal level, and they make laws on our behalf, and they go through a process. What's that old saying that nobody should ever see laws or sausages being made? Because it starts with a sponsor. It goes to the committee, back and forth. They cut deals in smoke-filled back rooms. Then it goes before the House. Sometimes it goes back to committee. Then if the House passes it, the Senate has to do this whole thing. And if those two bills don't match, then it has to go over again. And then there are various ways of delaying this. And then finally, if they all agree, the president can veto it. And it has to start all over again, or it goes nowhere. And then if the president approves of it, it can be now thrown to the Supreme Court and all the courts of appeals, and even then it might be overruled. Aren't you glad God doesn't do anything like that? When he makes the law, he says, I'm the authority, I'm the Supreme Court, I'm the executor. He makes the law, it stands. That is his authority. God is the one that gives the laws, therefore he is the one that has to be obeyed. Some of you have probably seen that t-shirt that mothers wear. And if some of you mothers don't have it, maybe you want to get it. Have you ever seen it? She who must be obeyed. God is he who must be obeyed. Mothers are not infallible. Children need to obey their mothers and their fathers insofar as what they are saying is in keeping with the word of God. If it's not, we need to appeal and go to God. God is he who must, and I underscore the word must, be obeyed immediately and without excuse. God has absolute authority. He has the highest authority, the final authority, perfect total authority, unequaled and unique authority. And it comes from God down, not from man up. We do not command God. Let me emphasize that he gives commands to us. We never issue orders or commands to God. We do not come with demands or commands to God. Look it up in the book of Philippians. It says, let your requests be made known to God. Here's one of our applications for the morning message. Brethren, when we pray before God, always remember we are requesting from God. We are not issuing demands or commands. We should never say, Lord, I need this. I demand this. Even when God gives us the privilege of praying, we come humbly before him, not with a list of commands or demands. So it comes from God down, not from man up, in prayer and in every other area. Now, this applies, for example, to civil society. Those that are put in office, we might elect them, but the Bible says God is the ultimate one that puts them there. Thomas Jefferson was wrong. One of our founding fathers said, all authority belongs to the people. And another president said, this is a government of the people, by the people, and so forth, but not according to the word of God. According to the word of God, all authority comes from God. It's from God because he has all authority, and he delegates some of that to whoever he pleases. God's authority displays his other attributes. You see, we've gone through this series on the attributes of God, and from time to time, we've shown how they all match and fit together. They're not loggerheads, they all match. God's authority displays other attributes of his. Now, maybe you've heard the old saying, the best test of a person's character is to see how he reacts when you put him in authority. Put him in some realm where he gives the orders at work or in a family or in some other situation, in the pulpit, for example. And usually they will show their character either by wimping out or becoming a little tyrant. Not so with God. He has ultimate authority. He never wimps out. And though he has all authority, he is not a cruel, unjust, unwise tyrant. God's authority works in perfect harmony, for example, with his holiness and justice. God exercises a holy authority. All of his commandments are holy because he is holy. And also he has a just and righteous authority. What does that mean? Means that his authority to issue the laws means his authority is a legal authority. Now, our president and various other people are installed, they are inaugurated, and they put their hand on the Bible and they swear before God. God, as it were, swears he exerts his authority in an absolutely legal way. All moral law, therefore, is ultimately based on the just authority of God, And therefore, God has the holy and just authority to enforce his law. Here's our next Bible verse. Turn with me to some of the words of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 12. Jesus himself told us about the authority of God in these two verses. And brethren, when we read this, a holy hush should blow across our hearts and our minds. We should be very sober. This is God himself speaking through the mouth of his Son, the Lord Jesus. Look at Luke 12, verses 4 and 5. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that can have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him, and that's God. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power, has authority. That's exousia. He has the authority to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. What's Jesus saying? He says that there are people that have authority, for example, to put people to death. In wartime or with capital punishment, God has given the sword to them. Then there are those that misuse authority. They don't have any authority. They're criminals that put people to death. And so we're afraid of dying. Jesus said, don't be afraid of those that will put you to death legally or illegally. If you're a Christian, you'll go to be with God. But Jesus said, I will tell you who to fear. The one that has power and authority not only to kill you, but to punish you after death. What is this saying? God has the authority to enforce the penalties of breaking his law. He is judge, jury, and executioner. God Almighty has the authority to punish lawbreakers in hell. Jesus says so. Now, God displays his authority not only in his holy law, but in his holy Bible. Brethren, this is the holy word of God. In fact, some Bibles will print on the cover, Holy Bible. It is the word of God who is holy. If God has all authority, therefore his word is invested with his authority. It is our final authority in everything. In fact, our church puts it into our constitution. This is our final authority in everything. It's the highest court of appeal. Why? Simply because it is the infallible word of God, who is the ultimate authority. We cannot make a disjuncture between God's word and God and say, well, God's the authority, not his word. God exerts his authority to us. He expresses it to us in this book. It's our final appeal in all areas of truth and ethics. That's why in this church we believe sola scriptura. Scripture alone is our final authority. Nothing human. Not church tradition, not church council or creeds or confessions, not human opinions or feelings, not public opinion polls, not psychology, not philosophy. Scripture alone is our final authority because it is God's word expressing his authority. And has authority over everything, anything, and everyone. Therefore, brethren, we need to appeal to Scripture in everything. In a family dispute, in a church dispute. When something comes up and someone asks you your opinion, you should do, as it were, a biblical Google search and say, now, what does the Bible say on that? And don't express your opinion, your feelings, but rather what the Bible says. And it is also our ultimate final guide and authority in life. Well, brethren, that's a summary of what the Bible says about the authority of God. Now let's get some very practical applications of the authority of God for us. Number one, two words, obey God. If the word authority has gone out of style, the word obedience has also gone out. People don't want to obey anything unless they're forced to. But we are to obey God because God has the authority to command. Therefore, we have the duty to obey. There's another word people don't like. Duty. Brethren, it fits. God is the commander, therefore it fits that we should obey. He has the authority. God created us in the image of God with the constitutional moral nature that we are under God. It fits. We were created to obey God's authority. Therefore, when we go against it, it doesn't fit. It's like putting your shoe in the wrong, your foot in the wrong shoe or the wrong size. It doesn't fit. Sin doesn't fit into God's universe. It doesn't fit under God's authority. We were created to submit to His authority by obeying His orders. Now, the authority of God is not merely a subject for us to be studied. We're looking at it this morning. We've looked at various verses, and we say, that's right, the Bible teaches this. It's not merely a subject to be studied. The authority of God is an attribute of God that demands our obedience. First part of this message, instructing our mind. Now we're moving down into our hearts. God commands our hearts and calls upon us to recognize God's absolute authority and respond accordingly with respect and obedience. The Bible gives us an illustration of this. The angels. The holy angels always obey God. They know the authority of God. They would tremble to ever go against God's authority. They always obey God. The Bible says that they have wings. Perhaps that's to show that they fly swiftly to obey everything God says. As soon as God issues an order, there they go, always, joyfully, to obey God immediately, without excuse, without delay. Why? Because the angels respect God's authority. On the other hand, they're evil angels, fallen angels. The Bible calls them demons. They rebel against God. They resist God's authority. However, God allows them to do that only so far. And then God enforces His authority even on the demons. And God charges them. And when God exerts His power to them, even the demons have to obey and respect God's authority. Again, using the human illustration, if we are good citizens, when we come up against a judge or a policeman, we will submit and obey. We'll say, yes, sir, yes, sir. Even if you disagree with that policeman, obey him. He's got the authority. But then there are some people that will resist the authority. They'll kick against that policeman and say, you ain't taking me in, copper. And he'll say, yes, I am. I have the authority. And he'll take you down. And he should do it in a legal way. The demons are like this. They resist against God, but God says, I've got the power to take you down. And He enforces it. Now, we see that in the life of the Lord Jesus. When He was on earth, He showed us the authority of God. And so what Jesus did is He commanded the demons and they always fell in line. The angels obey gladly. Demons obey only grudgingly. Which one do you resemble? The angels in heaven or the demons in hell? Let's talk about how Jesus showed us the authority of God before we move on. Here's another way that God displays His authority, His law, His word, but also through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says Jesus spoke with authority. Matthew 7:29. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at His teaching, for He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Have you ever wondered what Jesus sounded like when He spoke? Now, we have recordings of His words here on paper, but we don't have audible recordings. We don't know the tone of His voice or the volume of that. And as you know, with communication, how you say something can be as important as what you say. For example, if you hear your boss at work say something, you know that he's going to back it up with authority. We're told in this verse that Jesus spoke not just the content, but how He spoke had authority, not like the scribes. Oh, those scribes and rabbis, they would say this. And we have a lot of their records of how they spoke. They would say, well, it seems to me, you know, I heard a rabbi say this, but I heard another rabbi said this. So what they're always doing is just simply passing on secondhand opinions like that. And you've got books after books after books of the rabbis sharing their opinions. Jesus wasn't like that. You look it up in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, you heard some people say this and others say this. And he says, but I say to you. And when he said that, people sat up at attention and you. He spoke with authority. Luke 4:32 says, and they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. Pharisees sent some soldiers to go and arrest Jesus once. They couldn't do it, and they came back. And they had the authority to bring him in. And they came back, and the Pharisees said, well, where's Jesus? And they said, no man ever spoke like this man. Can you picture it? They go to arrest him, and Jesus is speaking with authority, and they're thinking, he's got greater authority than we do. We can't put the handcuffs on this man. Both the content of his words and the tone of his voice show that Jesus had authority. John 17:2, Jesus said that he had authority to give life. Matthew 9:6, he had authority to forgive sins. Mark 1:29, he had authority to cast out demons. Let me show you another episode. Matthew 21. Turn back to Matthew's gospel. An interesting episode. His enemies are now trying to trick him. They couldn't get him arrested. So now they try to trick him by trapping him in these trick questions. So Matthew 21, they come to him. Verse 23, they say, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? Jesus answered and said to them, I also will ask you one thing, which, if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John the Baptist, where is it from? From heaven or from men? They kind of go off and get in a little group, and it says they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he'll say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet. So they answered Jesus and said, we do not know, which was a lie. And Jesus said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. He turned the tables on these liars, showed them up for what they were. They were trying to trick him. They're trying to show off their pretended authority. Jesus pulls the mask off of them and leaves them there as the laughing stock of Jerusalem. This reminds me of an incident a few years ago when the late William Buckley was on television. You remember William Buckley? And he'd always show off this Yale accent and his command of the English language. And he'd use that to win arguments. Another man tried using that on him once in a debate on national television. And he showed off using this word. And Buckley interrupts and says, excuse me, you've just used that word in the wrong way. It doesn't mean what you evidently think it means. And the man was flustered and said, well, do you know what it means? And Buckley said, oh, yes, I know what it means. And the man said, well, would you tell us what it means? And Buckley just smiled and said, I'm not going to tell you. And he embarrassed the man on national television. That's what Jesus is doing here. They're challenging his authority. They had no authority to challenge him, and he showed that they were liars. Where did Jesus get this authority? He had the authority because he's God in the flesh, and as the Messiah, he had authority given to him by his heavenly Father. John 5:27 says he has authority to judge sinners. Jesus spoke with authority whenever he spoke on any matter. And just like God has the authority to give commands, Jesus did. He just didn't give suggestions. He just didn't do teachings. He would give applications. And sometimes they were very short and to the point. Look up one of them. We find these in each of the Gospels where Jesus would be walking through a town or walking along a seashore and he'd see somebody. Once he went up to Matthew, who at the time was just a tax collector. And Matthew had the authority to collect taxes. And Jesus simply walks up to him and issues a short command, two words. Follow me. And Jesus kept walking. And Matthew followed him. Whenever Jesus gave that command, people felt the force of authority and they fell, and Jesus would see one person and say, "Follow me." And the person would. Jesus is still exerting that authority today when he sees lost sinners and says to him through his word, "Follow me." And we would be well advised to fall in line and follow him. Let me show you another case where Jesus shows his authority. John chapter 10. Jesus is yet again being confronted by the Pharisees, who were up to no good, always trying to trick him, trying to have him killed. John chapter 10, Jesus said something very profound. Verse 18. He's already said that he's the good shepherd that lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 18, he says, "No one takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power, I have authority to lay it down, and I have power, authority to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father." They were trying to put him to death. Jesus is saying, "You don't have authority to take my life from me. I lay it down of my own free will, submitting to the Father's command, and I take it up again. No one else can say that. We don't have authority to lay down our lives or to pick it up again. Jesus Christ did." And before he went back up to heaven, Matthew 28:19, Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." All authority. And all there means all. All authority over all. Now here's a question before we move on to the applications again. Does God give authority to anyone else? He has given authority to Jesus. Does he give any authority to anyone else? Well, in one sense, no, because God alone has ultimate authority. And he's given some to Jesus as the triumphant Messiah. But in another sense, the Bible does say that God has indeed delegated limited authority to some people. Here's our next scripture text. Turn with me to Romans chapter 13. God has delegated a certain limited authority to what we would call the powers that be, magistrates, those that ruling in society in the political realm. Look at Romans 13, starting in verse 1. "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same." So this tells us that God has delegated a certain amount of authority to the powers that be. To the policeman, to the judge, to the president, these other ones. And they are under God to use it appropriately and to know the limitations of it. We see this in the life of Jesus, when Jesus appeared before Pontius Pilate, and he was quiet, and all the Pharisees were barking their orders and their lies against Jesus. And Pontius Pilate said to Jesus, "Do you not know that I have authority to crucify you and authority to release you?" And then Jesus spoke up and he said, "You could not have authority at all against me unless it had been given to you from above." So there's one area in which God has delegated a certain amount of limited authority to human beings, politicians, but also to parents. You know, there used to be a phrase, you don't hear it very much, but teachers at school were called, they were in loco parentis. That's Latin for in the place of the parents. They didn't have the authority. The parents had the authority. But in the same way, God has given a certain amount of authority to the parents from God. They stand in the place of God. That's why children are to obey their parents. So there's politicians and parents. You could also say pastors. They've been delegated a certain amount of authority. Look it up in Hebrews chapter 13. Now, here's another question. Does God give a certain authority to Christians in general that may not be a pastor, they may or may not be a parent, they may or may not be a politician? Well, in one sense, yes, Christians have been given a certain authority That's why we pray in Jesus' name. That's where God says, I give you the authority to come and pray. But it's a limited authority, not unlimited. We have a limited authority under God, and we better know what those limitations are. Now, there's one form of delegated authority that God does grant to us. This will surprise you. God grants salvation as a privilege, and he uses the word authority in this context. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the authority to become children of God. And that means it's a great privilege that is totally legal in God's sight. Let's go back to the applications now for a second application. Number two. We should obey God, but it's not always easy to submit to God's authority, but it's always right. Brethren, there are times in our lives it's hard to recognize God's authority. When we're in affliction, when we're hurt and going through difficult times, it's hard to say, God's in control of this. We're still called upon to submit to him. And then when we don't understand what God is doing, like in the life of Job, we go through turmoils in our lives and we don't understand. And God has not chosen to tell us the specifics of why are we going through this. He doesn't always call on us to understand his commands, but he does always demand that we obey. It's not always easy to recognize and submit to his authority, even when we don't feel like it. You know, God has made us creatures of feelings, and there are times we feel like obeying God's authority, but there are times we don't feel like it. Do it anyway. That's what parents tell their children. Children say, I want to obey mommy and daddy on these days, but not on other days. They need to do it anyway. And fellow children of God, we need to respect our Heavenly Father's authority on good days and bad, whether we feel like it anyway. I'll give you a little tip. That's the true test of obedience. When you obey God, when you don't feel like it, do it anyway. Number three, do not question God's authority. Brethren, do not quibble, do not nitpick, do not grumble or murmur. Do not pout like some spoiled children do. And they'll say to mommy, you don't love me, or to dad, you never let me do this. They're pouting and trying to manipulate their parents. That's grumbling and murmuring, but we do that as children of God. Don't. Don't pout. That's rebellion against God. Don't murmur. Don't question God's authority. Don't invent excuses or exceptions. Like saying, well, Lord, I would do this, but in this situation, this is different. Don't invent exceptions to God's authority. Don't delay to obey. Why do we obey God's authority? Because God is God. You've heard me say it before. I'll say it again. When I was a child, I had to learn this lesson from my parents, especially from my mother. And some of you remember my mother, very kind and tender, but she could be strict when little Kurt would challenge her authority, and she would tell me to do something. Go clean up your room. Go clean the backyard or something. I said, well, why? And she'd look over and say, because I say so. And I knew, yes, ma'am, I better go do it then or I'm going to get a spanking. And if my dad ever said that, ooh, I didn't dare challenge my father's authority. We should never challenge or question our Heavenly Father's authority. That is direct rebellion. When God says to do something in his word, we do it. And if we say why, God says, because I say so. End of argument. Number four, respect and obey the human authorities that God has put over you. We've just mentioned some. To obey them is to obey God because God has put them over us. Why should we obey parents? Because God has made them our parents. Why should we obey the ruling authorities? Because God has put them in authority. Why should we obey authorities within the church or at work? Because God has put them in authority. To obey them is to obey God. And to disobey them is to disobey God who has put them in authority. And a word to you that are in a position of delegated authority. Do not misuse the authority God has given to you. God is over you. You are under His authority. And I would remind you, God gives authority and God can take it away. Fifthly and lastly, believe the gospel on the authority of God. Why should we believe the Bible? Because God says so. It is His word. His authority is self-authenticating in His word when we read it. His authority hits us. And why should we believe it? Because God says so. And to be precise, why should we believe in Jesus Christ? He tells us to believe. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. The Bible says, repent of your sins. And you might say from the depths of your heart, give me one good reason why I should. And the one good reason is because God commands you to. God offers salvation to us and He patiently invites us to believe and He pleads with us. But God also commands us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is an imperative. It is an order. And it is our duty to believe. To disbelieve in Jesus is to disobey God and to go against His authority. And the same thing is true when He commands us to repent of our sins. The Bible says God now commands all men everywhere to repent. It is a command. So you see, it is both a privilege and a duty to believe the gospel. Well, this is a summary of what the Bible says about the authority of God. Let me close with a quote from the great John Calvin. There is nothing holier or better or safer than to content ourselves with the authority of Christ alone. And that's what the Bible has to say about the authority of God. Let us pray. Father, you have spoken through your word and told us that you have all authority. Help us to submit to that cheerfully, willingly, joyfully. For you have all authority, and it is our privilege as well as our duty to obey you. In Jesus' name. Amen.